Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Beis, and we are learning today's shiur, Leila Nishmas, a former member of the shiur who never has passed away, Harry Laub, Tzvi Ben Yoel, his Nisham Shevin Aliyah. And also I mentioned at the end of yesterday's shiur, I forgot to mention at the beginning of yesterday's shiur, that we learned yesterday's shiur, Leila Nishmas, Jack Freiling, Yaakov Ben Yitzchak, and Bernard Luster, Chaim Beryl Ben Yaakov. All the Nishamas we've learned for should have an Aliyah. There also was a dedication for the April 20th shiur for Milton Salomon, Moshe Zev ben Mordechai Yaakov. Again, all the neshamas we've learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. Okay, we begin with the Gemara, Nun Beis Amud Aleph, four lines from the top. Continuing our discussion about what animals are allowed to go out, we began the Perek of Bebe Behema Yotza yesterday. So what can an animal wear on itself on Shabbos that's not considered over here a maso you're carrying, and you're not allowed to have your animals carry things on Shabbos if they don't serve some purpose for the animal. So Tana Devei Menashe, they learned the Beis Medrash of Menashe. Eis shechokak lo bein karnel, if a goat has holes drilled into its horns. Rashi explains over here that in this fashion, in Tochavu, this is the Dibra Masl Yosef Asar, in Tochavu Bechikas Karen, if they made some holes into the horns of the animal, so then you're allowed to go out with some sort of a rein, Yotzor Ba'afsor B'Shabbos. You can go out, the goat can go and have this rein on it on Shabbos. Why is that? So Rashi continues, B'Kshir Ba'amalo, if you just tied it to the horns, it wouldn't be good enough. It has to really go through the horns so it stays there, because Dilma Shofa Me'reshe Mitosha Rosha Dak. If you don't tie it into the horns, you just have it wrapped around the horns, it's going to easily fall off, because it's head is narrow, it's small, bimenasekes lekanokan, and the goat is constantly moving around, and therefore, if you would go and hold on to it in this way, it's going to fall off the goat, and you're going to end up carrying these reins, dalet amos in a shusarabim. Therefore, it's only allowed if there's no way it can fall off the goat, i.e. if you drilled a hole, so to say, through the horns of the goat, and then you put this afsor, this reins inside that, so then it can fall out. This halter or these reins inside the horns, it won't fall out. That's the din that they learned in the Tana of the Beis Menashe. On this, Bar Rav Yosef, similar situation. What happens if you tie this halter, these reins over here, to the hair of the goat? Now, Rashi says, Shekoshar sazikno kimin nekev, you made somehow the hair and tied up in a certain way, and now that you're tying this rope, this halter, this afsor to it, is that considered a permanent type of attachment, like with the horns, when you're drilling through the horns, or is that considered, no, it's on top of the horns and it can easily fall off? Mahu, that's the question that they ask. Kivan dimin nasach law, card law, if the goat were to try to get this off itself, it would hurt the goat because it's tied to its hair. So it can't easily dislodge it. Therefore, there's no chance that it's going to come off. And therefore, lo asil inesucha, it's not going to be able to loosen. It's not going to be able to have it cut off, so to say, because it's going to be painful for the goat. Therefore, there's no concern that you come to carry it. Dalet amos in shusarabim. Or alternatively, they say, oh no, dilma, zilman derafi, it's going to get loosened. The natural situation over here is that it's going to get loosened from the hair of the goat. The nafil, it's going to fall off. And the owner is going to go and carry it before he realizes he's not allowed to do that. So do we view this tied to the hair of the goat like it's just around the horns and therefore it's not allowed? Or do we say it's viewed like it's drilled in through the horns and it would be allowed? And the world leaves with a taker. We don't come to the answer to this question. Tananos, and we learned in the Mishnah that we'll learn in a couple of days on Daf Nun Dalid, v'lo b'ritzua shevein karnea, the animal, we'll see there what's talking about a cow, is not allowed to go out with some sort of ritzua, strap, that's wrapped around its horns. That's what the Mishnah says over there. So Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba says, pliga bar Rav Shmuel. There's a machlokus in regards to that Gemara between Rav Shmuel. What is that? Chadamar, we don't know who said which. We're going to try to prove later on which one said which. One of them, either Rav Shmuel said, Chadamar, this is true that it's not allowed to go out with this ritzua around its horns. This is true whether it's Bein Lenoi, whether it's for beautification purposes of the animal. And Rashi says you're not using this in any way for Ochazobo, you're not using this to help steer the animal. It's purely for the adornment of the animal. So this, you're not allowed to go out Beinoi, everybody's going to say that. Or Bein Lishamer, or even if it's used for the purposes of protecting the animal to help you guide the animal, as Rashi says, Ochazobo, you're using this practically. So one of them, either Rabbi Shmuel said that the animal is not allowed to go out over here with this type of a ritzua, whether it's for beautification or even if it's for purposes of controlling the animal. Why would you not be allowed to? Because it's what we call a nesirusa yiseirasa. It's an unnecessary, more than is needed type of a shmira. And as we discussed in yesterday's share, there is an opinion that says that if it's more than needed, then it's not allowed to go out with it. So this is either Rav or Shmuel's opinion says that it's also bein lenoi, bein l'shamer. The other one, Chadomar, Lenoy also. Everybody agrees that for just beautification purposes, for dormant purposes, that's a masui on the animal. You can't go out with it. However, that's only Lenoy, Lenoy also. However, L'shamer, it's mutter. This opinion holds either Rav or Shmuel that says, no, a nitirusa, yiseirasa, an excessive shmira is allowed, because that's bottom line. You're doing it for the protection of the animal, to guard the animal, to control the animal, and it's mutter. So that's the machlokas between Rav Shmuel. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, let's try to figure out which one said it. Tistayim, he says, it makes more sense. The Shmuel who the Amar Lenoy Osir. Shmuel is the one that says that only Lenoy it's Osir, but L'shamer is Mutter, the more lenient opinion. Why is that? Because the Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya, we had this in yesterday's Gemara, the Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya, Amar the Shmuel, he said the name of Shmuel, Halacha ki Chananya, that we paskin like Chananya, that a excessive shmira, nitiruso yiseirasa, is allowed. Oh, so that would be over here, the putting on this ritzua on the cow is an excessive type of a shmira, and yet it's allowed. So, it must be the Shmuel holds like Chananya, and that's therefore the opinion of Shmuel is the lenient opinion over here. However, Omele Abai, no, Adrabi says the exact opposite. I'll show you another statement that we made by Shmuel that seems to say he's the more machmer opinion. The more machmer opinion says even if it's for shmira purposes, Shmuel holds that excessive shmira is not allowed. Where do we see that? Yes, they share also. The Omer Yudomer Shmuel, Machlifim Le Rebbe, Shozu Bezumahu. Yes, that we brought down in our Mishnah that a certain type of shmira was good for a camel, but we said, what about for a special white female camel, you needed a higher shmira. And what about for a donkey? You needed a certain shmira for a regular donkey, and then for the lub donkeys, the luba donkeys, you needed a different type of shmira. So they needed certain animals needed a more strict or a stronger type of a shmira. So they asked Rebbe, what happens if you did the other way around? If you did the stronger shmira for an animal that didn't need it, and you did the weaker shmira for an animal that required the stronger shmira. So that was the question that was asked yesterday, and it was said over the name of Shmuel, this question, and on my lafon of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi answered this question. He said, Kach Amar Abba, my father of Yossi, the great godler of Yossi, said that there are only four behemoths, Dala Behemoth, Yotzus Ba'afsor, Hasus, Ha'Pered, Va'Gomel, Ve'Achamar. Those four animals are allowed to go out with this afsar, with this halter, implying, Lav Lemute, Gomel, Bechatom. Isn't that coming to tell us that the gomel is not allowed to go out with the chatam? The higher shmira is not necessary for the gomel, and therefore it's not allowed to go out with the chatam. Oh, you see that this was said over the name of Shmuel. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said this, therefore he must hold that the higher level of shmira is unnecessary, and therefore he's the mu'mach repeating and says that even l'shamer, you're not allowed to go out with a higher level of shmira. So we have two conflicting statements that seem to imply that Shmuel holds like the more lenient opinion and like the stricter opinion. So where it says, Sameha Mikameha. He says, delete this first opinion and accept the second opinion that Shmuel is more like the stricter opinion and not like the more lenient opinion. Where it says, why did you decide to delete that one? There's a contradiction over here. So why did you delete the first one? You should have deleted the second one. Well, my cause is the Mesames Ha Mikameha. Samiha Mikameha. Instead of deleting the first one and accepting the second one, delete the second one and accept the first one. So now some aren't gorgeous, the words in parentheses. They're not wrong, so we could read them. But on the side, it has has the gear. So it might have your law. Which one is right? Which one should be deleted and which one should not? So in any event, we could read the parentheses. The Ashkun Shmuel, who the Yama Lenoy also L'shamer Mutter. It makes more sense to leave the first version, that Shmuel was the more makel opinion, and to delete, in fact, the stricter opinion that Shmuel is holding that you can't even go out L'shamer. The Itmar, because we learned, or just the Girsa, Itmar. Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav. Rav Chiya Barashi, the name of Rav, Bein Lenoy, Bein L'shamer, also. Oh, so we see that Rav is the stricter opinion, and therefore it must be the Shmuel is the more lenient opinion. Oh, Chokamashulam, that's a good raya. Fine. Gemara continues and says, V'Rav Chiya Bar Ovin, Amar Shmuel, Lenoy, also L'shamer Mutter. And Rav Chiya Bar Ovin said, Beferish over here, that Shmuel is the opinion that says, the more local opinion, Lenoy is Osir, L'shamer is Mutter. Mesi, we continue asking on this. Kashro bi'olea b'moseira. What are we talking about over here? So Rashi says we're talking about a para aduma. Now, para aduma is a very unique type of a cow. You can't just say it's like all other cows. And that will be one of the answers we'll eventually give to this discussion. So right now, we bring down this brisa that says if the owner of the para aduma ties a mosera, that's an afsor, to a cow, it's good. Now, this is an excessive shmira. If you hold like Rav, that we just said that Rav holds that you're not allowed to have the cow go out l'shamer because it's excessive. So the pasuk says over here, asher lo aleo ol. A parah aduma is not allowed to go out with something because that would be considered an ol. And a parah aduma is not allowed to have any work done with it. Now, if you hold like Rav over here, that this is considered excessive, so then it wouldn't be allowed to go out with this afsor. And yet, the Brisa says you're allowed to. So, kasha on Rav. Again, the pasuk tells us, asher lo aleo aleo ol om rachmona, and this, therefore, would be an ol. Yet, you're allowed to do this, kasha on Rav. So the Gemara is going to give several terutzim from different Amoraim. The first one is from Abaye. Omer Abaye says this is a case over here, b'molichem yelier. You're taking the parah aduma from one city to another city. So right, if you're just having it outside, pasturing, so you're not allowed to put this all on it. This afsor would be an excessive amount. It would be an all, and it would be no good. But when you're taking the animal from city to city, so then you do need to have this shmira. It's not considered an excessive shmira. Teretz number one. Rav Omar, teretz number two, shiny para, the domer yukarin. This is a para duma. This isn't a regular cow. If somebody has a huge diamond, he doesn't just put it in a little padlock on his desk. He puts it in a vault. He puts it in a safe deposit box. So you can't say that you're just going to use the regular shmira for a para duma. So for a regular cow, it would be excessive. For a para duma, it's not considered excessive. That's what Rashi says over here. The domer yukarin. It's very expensive. Ubayin etirusa, you say rasa, mishanolda. You're going to use a much stronger type of shmira on it. It's not considered excessive. The third teretz is vinomar b'moredes. You're talking about a rebellious cow. This isn't going to be able to be watched with the normal type of shmira. It's demonstrating that it needs a higher shmira, and therefore this isn't considered an all for a cow that is a moredes. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that a horse, hasus, goes out bishir, can go out with his collar. And then we had other animals that could go out with a collar as well. V'chule. Fine. Gemara said, my yotzin or my nimshochim. The Mishnah had said that it can go out yotzin and nimshochim. Now those two seem to be unnecessary. If it's going out with it, so of course it's nimshochim. Of course it's pulled with it. So I don't understand, the Gemara says, why you told me over here this double loshem. So I have several terutzim as well. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, oh yotzin kruchin, it can go out with this ritzua wrapped around the neck of the animal, this collar over here. It can go out with it. O yotzin kruchin, totally wrapped around. O nimshochim, or some of it's loose, and there, in this situation, it can go out with it either way, whether it's wrapped around the neck tightly, or even if some of it's loose. See, the Rashi over here says it clearly. Yotzin kruchin, haritzua saviv tzavaran, this strap is around the neck of the animal. Even though you're not holding on to, because it's wrapped around the neck of the animal, lav masihu, v'lenoi nami, urchayuhu. Because this is not considered a burden, it's not considered something that the animal's carrying, because this is the normal way that it goes out. In this fashion, it's like an adornment for it, but that it's a normal way to do this. And nimshachim would mean, shen moshcha biritzua hakvua b'tabas ashir. You can have the horse with the rein over here attached to this collar, and that's the normal way, that's allowed as well. So that's how Rav Huna explains this somewhat funny lashon of yotzin and nimshachim. It means two different things. O yotzin kruchen, o nimshachin. Shmuel has a different terence. So Shmuel amar yotzin nimshachin. Shmuel says, dinitirusa urchahu. This is the normal way that the animal goes out. The ein yotzin kruchen. You must have it over here that it's only that if it's nimshachin, but if it's wrapped around the neck, that's no good because that's for noi, and that wouldn't be a valid type of a shmira for this animal. So Shmuel is more machmer over here than Rav Huna. So Rav Huna allows it to be just wrapped around the neck, and Shmuel would not. Now, the Masnisa Tana, we learn in the Brisa, Yotzin Kruchin Limoshech. A third answer is, in this Brisa, that it sounds more like Shmuel, although Tosa says it could even be like Rav Huna, and that is, it's allowed to go out, Yotzin Kruchin, it's wrapped around the neck, but also Limoshech, that you're using it to also control the animal. As Rashi says, Kruchim berevach, it's wrapped around the neck, but with a little bit of space, shocho lichanis yodo Ben akrach l'tzavor, between the part that's wrapped around the neck, you can grab it. Or yiniach mat min achevel, or a little bit of the rope is still loose. Shem bas livrach. If the sus wanted to run away, yimor av yachazen, you could quickly grab it. So the simple understanding of this brisa is that it's in accord really with Shmuel, and Tosa says it could even be in accord with Rav Huna, because Rav Huna would say that as long as you can grab it, that would be fine. The Gemara continues and says, "On Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Chazina leli gole deve Rav Huna. I saw the egels, the little calves, the baby cows that were in the house of Rav Huna, yotzin b'avsarein kruchim b'shabbos. I saw Rav Huna paskin his halacha lemaisa lekula that you're allowed to go out with it wrapped around the calf's neck. So he paskin that halacha lemaisa." Kios Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rav Chanina, sending Rav Chanina, mulos shel beis Rebbe. Rashi says mulos are ferids, predos. These are the mules of the house of in Rebbe, in his house, yotzos b'avsorei and b'shabbos. They also went out with these types of afsor, these halters on Shabbos. So now Rav Dimi tells us this seemingly chiddush in what they did in the house of Rebbe. And the Gemara says over here, Ibailu, what was his chiddush? Kiruchin? Did they go around with it wrapped around the neck like Rav Huna? Onim Shachem? Or did they only go out like Shmuel said, that it had to be that you could lead the animal with it? That's what they were asking for Rav Dimi. So Toshma, they bring a raya, ki also Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. When Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Chanina, he sent in Rav Chanina, Mulo Shabbos Rebbe Yotzos Rav Sarein, Kruchim b'Shabbos. He befavorish said that it was like Rav Huna that they went out with it wrapped around the neck. So he added, Rav Shmuel Yehuda added on to what Rav Dimi said. Amru Rabbanan Kamei de Ravasi, they said over these vorts in front of Ravasi, and he said, Hod Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, this reinterpretation that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda gave us, that it's talking about Kruchim, lo tzricha. I didn't need him to tell us that. I could have figured it out myself. Midi Rav Dimi Nafka, I could have learned it just from Rav Dimi and known it myself without Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda telling it to me. Why? Because if Rav Dimi was coming to tell us that you're only allowed to go out like Shmuel said with the Nimshachim, with some room that you can grab onto it and lead the animal, so then Mirav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Nafka. I would know that from a different statement that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said in yesterday's shir. The Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel Machlifin Ayu Lefnei Rebbe Shozu Bazu Mahu, that we had earlier in today's shir as well. They said, what happens according to Rebbe if you switched it around and you did the stronger shmir on the weaker animal? Is that allowed? And Amar Lefon of Rav Shmuel Bar Yosi said Kachamar Abba. Rav Shmuel said, he said, my father said that no, Arba Behemos Yosus Be'Avsor, only those four animals can go up the Avsor, Hasus Va'Perid Va'Gomel Va'Chamar. And therefore, you clearly see already that we know that it's allowed to go out with the afsar. So I'd know that. So what would Rav Dimi be telling me? It must be the Rav Dimi is coming to add on. And when it goes out with the afsar, it's going out with it kruchin. So I don't need Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda to tell me that. However, Gemara says, Amalu Rav Asi, no, it's Rikluhu. You need what Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said. You couldn't learn it out from Rav Dimi alone. Why is that? Because Dimi Rav Yehuda, Nafka, if we only had the statement from Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, that from the fact that Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi said that there's four behemos that can go out, if I only had that, Hav Amina, Amar Lefonav, that Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi said this in front of Rabbi, but Lo Kibbalamine, but Rabbi didn't accept it. Rabbi said, no, I don't hold like that. Therefore, Kamash Malon, the Rav Dimi. That's why I need Rav Dimi to tell me, no, that Rabbi accepted it. And if we only had Rav Dimi, Vida Rav Dimi, Hav Amina, Hanamina Limshachim, maybe it only means Limshachim, Avul Kruchim Lau. Kamash Malon, you need Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda as well. Very good. That concludes that little discussion. Now back to the Mishnah. We quote the Mishnah. It said, Umazen alein v'tovlin bimkoman, that you can go, when the animal is wearing this collar around its neck, you could sprinkle on it the hadzor from a paraduma on the third and the seventh day, and then when it needed to go to the mikvah, you don't have to take the ring, the collar off the animal. You could immerse the entire animal, and the ring will get immersed in the mikvah, and that's perfectly good. So Gemara says, Lameimra, this comes to teach us, the b'nei kibule tumma ninhu, that these types of collars, these rings on the animal, can be makabel tumma, but they're for animals. Well, it's not. We learned in the Mishnah in Kalim, tabas odom tmeya, a ring of a person can accept tumma. However, the tabas behema, the ring of an animal, the kalim, or Rashi has the gear, so tabaz kalim, or the rings that are osin birosh yodos a kalim, a ring for a ring. In other words, a ring that is not a keli itself. It's a keli, a ring for a keli. Vishar kol tabos, or any other types of rings. For example, Rashi says, kigon ha'asuris l'delos, you have a door knocker, you have a ring type of a door knocker. In all of these situations, tahoros, they can't accept tovah. We turn to the Amud Beis. So how can you tell me in our Mishnah that the animal's collar, the ring, can accept Tumah? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yitzchak, we delete the word Navcha, Amar Rav Yitzchak, he says, Beboyin minoy adam linoy behema. No, this once was a human ring, and it subsequently was changed to become the ring of an animal. And Rashi points out, while it was a human ring, it became Tumah. And only afterwards did you put it on the animal, and it retained its tumma over here. You have to go and make sure that this ring doesn't come into any contact with taros. That's why it is tame, and you want to make it tar. That's how Rashi understands this. If you look back on the Omen Aleph, the Tosus for this are on the Omen Aleph, on Nunday's Omen Aleph, and it says in the third Tosus up in the bottom, Pirish Rashi, Uba Odali Odom Nitma, while it was still belonging to the person, it wasn't yet being used to the animal, became Tomei. So that's what Rashi said. But he says, B'chidam pirish kach. You don't have to learn like Rashi. Da'afilu acha shichud l'behema mekabel tuma. Even if it became Tomei only after it was already used by the animal, that still would be mekabel tuma. She'eno ole milekabel tuma mikan ve'elech ela b'shinui ma'isa. Because it doesn't lose its ability to accept tuma unless you do a ma'isa to it. And here, all you did was say, I'm now putting it on the animal. That's not a maisa, and therefore it still has the capability of accepting tumah. So Tosa says Rashi didn't have to tell us that it was tumah when it was still belonging to the yomim, being used by the person. But even if it was already being used by the animal, it still is makabel tumah. Fine, okay. The Gemara continues and says that's Rav Yitzchak's teretz. Bevoi minoy odom noy behema. A second teretz over here, Yosef Amar, hold the odom moshech behema sa behema. No, you're using this to lead the animal, so it's still considered a kli of a person and not a kli of an animal. And therefore, it's a kabbal tumah. After all, milotanya, makel shel behema shel mateches, if you have a stick that you're using to prod an animal and it's made out of metal, so it's a kabbal tumah, is so makel shel behema shel matches makabel tuma matam why hova odom ro the man, since the man is using it for the animal, so it's considered like a man's utensil. Hochanami hova odom moshech ben, since the man is holding on to this collar, so therefore this ring is considered a utensil for a person as a makabel tuma. Fine. Then we said the tovu makomam, you don't have to take the collar off the animal. You could be tovel the entire animal, so to say, and the collar will get wet and be toveled and immersed, and therefore it's a good tefillah. Gemara says, wait a second, there is a separation over here. Now, Rashi explains the separation over here is shetabas ha-kavua b'shir. This is the ring that's attached to the collar, and it's going to be a tightness between them. That's a simple way to understand this over here, and that's the way Tosus understands Rashi as well. And Tosus just adds from the Ri, the Tzarach Lomar Shepa'amim Meisirin Osan, that you obviously disconnect this ring from the collar at various times, otherwise it would be considered one, and you wouldn't have to worry about a chatzitza. Then Tosus brings down a second pshat from the Rabbeinu Porus, and he says, Vo'ika chatzitza l'fishu dovuk b'tzar v'behema. He says the chatzitza is that it's attached to the animal, and the water can't get in between the neck of the animal and the ring. In any event, there's a potential chatzitz over here, vo'ika chatzitz, the one says, how can you be tovel it while it's still on the animal? Amar Ravame, bisharischon. We're talking over here that he did some banging on it so that there's no longer this chatzitz. So he bangs out the chatzitz, he loosens it up in some way that there is no chatzitz. Either like Rashi and the first opinion tells us to say that the water now can get between one ring and the collar, or it can get between the ring and the animal. Fine, sharischon. This teretz that Ravami gave, Lema Ravami Kirav Yosef Sirle, this only goes in accord with the teretz that we gave a minute ago, that why is this animal's ring able to accept tumah? It's because it's being used by a person, so it's not really an animal's ring, it's called the person's ring to help him run control the animal. So this works out well according to that reasoning. Because the Iker of Yitzchak, if you go by the first teretz, which was went from Noi Odom Lenoi Behema, the Amar Bevoi Mi Noi Odom Lenoi Behema, Kiven the Rizchon, once you smashed it, once you banged it, You've now done a Maisa, and everybody agrees that if you do a Maisa, you change from being the Keli of an Adam to now being the Keli of an animal. And the Tumah would leave it. Because we learned, you can make a Keli into accepting Tumah by declaring it to be a Keli just by Machshava. But to lose that status, you have to do a maisa to it. You have to do an actual act to it and not just the machshava. Machshava alone can't remove its status. You can change it by doing a maisa, but you can't change it by doing just the machshava. So Gemara says, let us say that Rav Ami only holds like Rav Yosef and not like Rav Yitzchak. So Gemara says, no. So have a look at Yehuda. He holds like Rav Yehuda. The Amar, when you're saying that he needs to have a maisa l'sakein, Lav Maisahu. If the Maisa that you're doing is to improve it, that's not considered that you've changed it in a way that it's no longer considered that Kli. It's only if you're destroying it, then that changes it around. But if it's a Maisa L'sakin, Lav Maisahu. Where do we see this? The Tanya, Rav Yehuda Omer, Lo Omer Shinu Maisa L'sakin, El L'kalkel. The only time that it's considered a significant Maisa is if it's L'kalkel, if it ruins it. But if it's to make it better, that's not called a Maisa that takes it out of the status of being the utensil that it was beforehand. Marketing says Mas Nisa Tony, we learned in a Braisa b'michulalin. Here's another teretz that we have that we're dealing over here with this collar, this ring that has michulalin. Rashi says it has holes in it. Rashi mitchila nasu chalulin rechavim sheish cholol b'dveik asan shenos and tabas b'soch tabas k'moshu rochav. So there never was a chatzitza problem over here, even in the first place. The way the ring is made, there is no chatzitza. Tosos and Dibra Maschu Bishirizkun says, this is such a good teretz, why don't we just give this teretz? So he says, L'hochi l'muki lo b'muchulolin, dein derech hashir lioskin. He says, this isn't normal to be done this way. Though it's a teretz, it's true, but it's not the normal way to do it. That's why we give the other terutzim as well. Gemara goes right and says, Shal Talmud Echad mi Galil ha'elyon es Rabbi Eliezer. There was a Talmud who asked the question to Rabbi Eliezer. He was from the Galil. He asked Rabbi Eliezer this Shiloh. We'll have another case in a moment. The Talmud asks another question to Rabbi Eliezer. In any event, he says, Shamati, I heard, Shacholkin bein Tabas l'Tabas. I heard that there is a difference in din between one type of Tabas and another type of Tabas. However, I don't know what that was said in regards to. Rebbe, can you help me out? So Rebbe Eliezer says, I'm alone. Yeah, Shemelo Shamata, maybe you heard, Elinyan Shabbos. In regards to the halachas of Shabbos, there could be a difference between one type of ring and another type of a ring. But the Elinyan Tuma, Da V'Da Chada. All the rings have the same exact halacha. Now, what are we talking about over here? That Rashi says, Le'inyan Shabbos, there could be a difference between the rings. Le'inyan Hotzah Shabbos, Yesh Chiluk, Ben Yesh Le'chosem, L'Shein Le'chosem. There are different types of rings. There are signet rings and there are regular rings. And some of them would be an Issa D'Oraisa to carry out, and some of them would not. So therefore, in regards to Hilchah Shabbos, there could be a difference between the rings. But in regards to Hilchah's Tumah V'Tara, they all have the same exact halacha. That's what Rabbi Eliezer told this Talmud Echad Migolil. More questions this and says, Le'inyan Tumah, Da V'Da Achasi? Is it really true that all the rings have the same halacha? But I'll show you that that's not true. Even in regards to Tumah, the rings have different halachas. But now we learned in Mishnah Kalim, Tabas Odom Temeya, V'Tabas Behema, V'Kalim, V'Shar Kolat Tabos Taurus. We had this earlier. We just said that not all rings can accept Tumah. A ring of a person can accept Tumah, but the ring of an animal or the ring that's used as a ring for another ring, so, or other types of Tabos, are not capable of a Kabul Tumah. So how can you tell me all the rings have the same halacha? Of course, you're right. Ki Karmale, when we said that they all have the same halacha, Yunami de Adam Karmale. It's talking about all the rings of a person. You're right, there are other rings that don't accept Tumah. But once it's a ring of a person, all the rings accept Tumah. There is no difference. More questions that. Uda Adam, Da V'Da Achasi, and there's no difference between different types of rings, even if they're human rings? The Gemara says that's not true. But Tanya, we learned in the Tosefta, Tabas Shiskino Lachgar Bar Masnov. If you're using some sort of a ring to go and gird yourself, you're using like a belt over here, so it's like a buckle on a belt, Ulakashir Bar, or you're using it in some other way to tie bank safe of something around your shoulders. So Tahora, that's not considered a ring that's a kli of a person, it's a kli for a kli. And therefore, it wouldn't be Makabel Tumah. So how can you tell me there's no difference between rings? The only type of a ring that can accept Tumah is a human ring that they wear on their finger, but not these other types of buckles or rings that hold up clothing. So again, here you see that there are different halachos, even in regards to Tumah, by rings. So Gemara says, no, ki karmalei iyu, nami de etzba karmalei. When he said that all the rings have one halach, he's talking about human finger rings, the rings that you wear on a finger. The Gemara questions that too. And all rings that you wear on your finger, they all have the same din in regards to Tumah. I'll show you that that's not true. But Nan says in the Mishnah, later on in the Masechta, if you have the ring, that the ring part is made out of metal, which is makabel tumah. The chos b'shel almog, and the signet part is made out of a wood called almog. So then we view the ring part as the ikker, and it is makabel tumah. Tmeyahi, if it can become tame. However, if the wooden part is the ring, shel almog, is the ring part, so that's a pshute kli eitz, which is not makabel tumah, and only the chos b'shel matechas, and the signet part, that's made out of metal, so then we view, again, the ring part is the critical factor, and tahora. So here you see that we have two different types of rings on fingers, one is makabel tumah, one is not makabel tumah. Shmura says again, ki karmale iunami kula shel matechas karmale. So we say over here, again, the same type of a teretz, that when we said, that Rabbi Eliezer said, there's only one din by rings, he's talking about finger rings that are made out of metal. They all have the same din, but others might have a different din. But that was the first question that this Talmud from the Galil asked Rabbi Eliezer. For Ochal, another question this Talmud asked Rabbi Eliezer, he said, Shamati shecholkin bin machat lemachat. I heard that under certain situations there's a difference between a needle and a needle in halacha, but I don't know what that was said. So Amalei, so Rabbi Eliezer said to him, maybe Shema lo shamati alinyan Shabbos. In regards to Shabbos, sometimes you can carry and be over Nisa Deraisa if you carry a needle, and other times you're not over Nisa Deraisa. So in regards to Shabbos, there's a difference between a needle and a needle, bin mach lemachat. But the inyan tumma, but in regards to tumma, David do achasi, the needles all have the same halach in regards to tumma. Gemara questions this: Ulinyan tumma David do achasi. Is it really true that there's no difference in regards to tumma between one needle and another needle? But not. We'll learn later in the Masechta and Daf Kuf Chav Gimel, and also it's a Mishnah in Kalim Machat Shenital Chora O Uktza. If you have a needle that you took out its hole or its uktza, its point, Torah, it no longer is functioning as a needle, and therefore it's no longer makabel tumma. So here you have a type of a needle that isn't makabel tumma, and a needle that has chora and uktza is makabel tumma. So Gemara says, no, same teretz as before, ki karmalei bishleima. When we said that the dinim are all the same, it's dealing with a shleima, a full needle that has the chora and uktza, and therefore they all have the same din. More questions. This will be shleima, davido achasi. Is that really true? Even if they're shleima, they always have the same din. But nan, we learned in Mishnah in Kalim, machat shelosa chaluda. If you have a rusty needle, so if there's so much rust on it, in ma'akev esatvira, you can't go and sew because of the rust, either because the rust doesn't allow it to go through, or because it discolors the clothing. So in Torah, it's no longer a needle. The im lav, but if you still can use it, so even though there's a little bit of rust on it, today it's still considered a needle, and it's a kli, and it's makabel tumah. So again, here you see that there are different types of needles that have that are shleima that have a different din. How much rust does it have to have? Is that it has to either prevent you from rishuma nika, means that it either you prevent it from going through because of the rust, or that it will destroy the clothing in some way because of the rust. As Rashi says over here in Dibra Masko, rishuma nika, he says that this machat is recognizable as a machat, the havi kli, utmeya. Lishnachrin, he says, shirishuma shel chalud nika, that the rust is recognizable on it, bebegit, hainu ikav, Tefira utahora, that it's going to not allow you to go and sew with it because of the rust. Then it's considered no longer a kli. It's tahora. So you see that there are different types of machats, even in regards to tumah. So Gemara says, no, ki karmale b'shifa. We're talking here about one without rust on it. It's polished. It doesn't have rust on it. Yishofas, Rashi says, and therefore, ein bo chalud. It doesn't have rust on it. Karmale, that's what we're talking about. So Gemara says, and even b'shifa, even the ones without rust on it, is there only one din? Do v'do achasi. I'll show you that that's not true. V'tanya, machat bein nekuva, bein einar mekuva. If you have a needle, whether it has a hole in the needle, has an eye in the needle, or whether it doesn't have an eye of the needle, mutal etatel b'Shabbos. You are allowed to go and carry it on Shabbos. In other words, they're both considered over here usable on Shabbos to, say, take out a splinter or to go and use it as a toothpick. So therefore, they're not considered muktza, and you can go and use them on Shabbos, even though they're normally used for sewing, but since they have another purpose, they're considered not muktza. However, in what regard are they considered similar, whether they're with a nekuva or not? The law means a nekuva elinyan tumma bilvad. The reason why it has to tell us the distinction over here between nekuva and not nekuva has nothing to do with tiltul and Shabbos, but it has to do with tumma. In regards to tumma, if it has a hole, then it's makabel tumma. It's a good kli. If it's not nekuva, it's not makabel tumma. So Gemara says, you see clearly that there are two different types of machatz, even in regards to tumah, that are shifa and shleima. So Gemara says, Hotir Gemara Abayi, that we already teretz. Abayi explained that. Aliba de Rava, according to Rava's understanding, begolmi. We're talking here about it wasn't yet a fully fashioned kli. It was only a block, a unfinished type of a needle. As Rashi says, shu golem shenikzotzo min achut, vo medesli nokev, it's waiting to have the hole made in it. And in that situation, hasu, the kolz mashalo nikva, it's waiting to have the hole in. So therefore, until it has the hole in, ein mekabel tumah. You're right, it's not a kli yet. The hole lo nigmeres melachta, because it wasn't finished yet. Olinyan tumah, in regards to tumah, kli maisa ksiv, you must have a finished utensil. However, if this was a machat that was finished, even though it doesn't have a hole, nevertheless, dor v'dor achasilu tumah, then it is capable of accepting tumah, and in that situation, there is only one halacha in regards to tumah. Let's start the next Mishnah ready, even though it's not going to really be explained until we get to the Gemara in tomorrow's Shia. So the Mishnah says, Chamar Yotzi b'mardas, a donkey is allowed to go out with this mardas. Rashi explains this mardas is something that they would put underneath the saddle. Manichin also kol hayom alachamor, they would leave this on the donkey all day long to keep the donkey warm, lachammo. Because the Amri Inshid, people say that a donkey, Chamar, afilu b'tkufas tamas, even in the summer months, even in the month of tamas, correlates, always cold. So they put this blanket on it, this mardas, on it, and the chamor can go out with that because it's for the benefit of the animal. It's not noi, it's not beautification, and it's not something that's unnecessary. So chamor yotzi b'mardas bisman shikashurubo, but it has to be tied onto it because otherwise we're afraid it's going to fall off and you're going to come to carry it down at Amos. More will explain that. Then it says zucharim, you have over here elim, rams. So these rams are allowed to go out with this levuvin. More will explain what this exactly is. Yotzi levuvin. Rechelos, the female sheep, the ewes, they're allowed to go out. Yotzos, shechuzos, kivulos, and kivunos. They can go out with various things wrapped or tied around them as well. The Gemara will explain exactly what all of these things are. And finally, the ezim, the goats, yotzos, tsuros. They're allowed to go out tsuros. Rashi says over here, this is their udders are wrapped in something to either dry them up that they shouldn't give milk, and therefore they will stop producing prolactin, and therefore they can get pregnant again, or that you want them to fatten up and be used for eating purposes. And other times it's used tsururos over here to go collect the milk from the udders. So tomorrow we'll discuss this more in detail as well. So the first opinion says they can go out tsururos, but Rav Yossi's also bekula, and Rav Yossi doesn't let him go out with any of these conditions, chutz min arachelim, except for the sheep, the female sheep, that are allowed to go out kavunos, which would be certain type of fastening around them. We'll explain this when we get to the Gemara. Rashi says over here, this is for the protection of their wool. Shehi shmiras tzimran shelo yitane. If it protects the wool from getting dirty, and that's therefore a tachshit. And therefore it's allowed, as we'll learn in the Gemara. Finally, Rav Yehuda omer, izim yosot tzuros. Rav Yehuda says the izim are allowed to go out tzuros. However, only if it's for the purpose of loyavi, is to dry up their udder, avalolichali, but not to go and collect the milk. When you collect the milk, it's much looser and it could fall off. But if it's tightly bound, it's not going to fall off, so that's why he allows it only loyavish, but not lichali. Again, all of this will be discussed more in the Gemara. Again, we learned the shir on April 20th, Lila Nishmas Milton Salomon, Moshe Zev ben Mordechai Yaakov. And we learned yesterday's share, Lila Nishmas, Jack Freiling, Yaakov ben Yitzchak, and Bernard Luster, Chaim Berl ben Yaakov. And today's share was learned, Lila Nishmas, Mr. Harry Laub, Tzvi ben Yol. All the Nishamas we learned for should have an aliyah.